This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and we are live in Pine Richland, Pennsylvania for the Baseball and Softball Association's opening day. And boy, last year we were here for an opening day, and it was rainy, and a lot of those things were canceled. Today it's sunny. It's a bit breezy, but we welcome you into the Bob Pompiani Show, where our number is 412-928-9370, same as the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. 928-9370, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money. For you, our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your bag, not your wallet. Also, number one Cochran. Ride in style and go one better with number one Cochran. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. And Ironland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call every night of the week. KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan. The wind is certainly going. We have a lot of kids. 1,300 kids, believe it or not, are here for this PRBS Association, Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association. There are 1,300 kids here today, and I know that O'Neill Cruz and his kids are up here playing in this opening day, and, you know, these kids are excited about baseball, ages 3 through 18, boys and girls. They're all here enjoying the sunny day and enjoying being outside and hopefully working on their baseball skills. So we want to talk sports with you at 412-928-9370. Pirates will be playing later today, as you know, against the Red Sox. And last night they took one on the chin as Quinn Priester was not very good in his opening night after a recall. He got a lot of ground ball outs, but he also gave up three home runs, two in the first inning, and that was his night, basically four-plus innings. After that, Roansy Contreras came on and gave up a home run as well. And, you know, the bottom line here is that if you don't get any offense, every pitching outing you get is going to not work up to where it needs to be. And their offense has just not got a click in at all. They have guys who you would expect to hit who are not hitting. I realize it's early. I say that until a certain amount of time when I say it's not early anymore. But right now it is early. They got to get it figured out. They started well, got a lot of extra base hits. They got a lot of runs, and all of a sudden bats have completely cooled off. And, you know, honestly, they got to put the ball in play more. A guy like O'Neill Cruz, he's a guy who, if he puts it in play with his speed and his ability to do stuff on the base paths, can be a huge asset, even if he's not hitting home runs. And I know people get clamored with this 30-30, 40-40 stuff, but before that happens, you got to really become a good, reliable hitter, and he's struggling in that department right now. I expect that to change. Ke'Bryan Hayes has not hit a home run so far in the first 20 games of the season, as the Pirates, after starting 9-2, are now 11-9. So things have got to change that way. They have to get on base. They have to drive in some runs. We'll see if they can do it today. Game two of this series against the Red Sox at 4:05. And Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show begins at 3 o'clock right here on 93.7 The Fan. This is also the first day of hockey playoffs. And it's sad in many respects that once again the Penguins have fallen short. There are a lot of reasons for that. You can look at the power play, as I often do, with this group of people, and I would suspect that they need to get better on the power play. And if you can't do that, you're never going to win. That's a big advantage when you have four Hall of Famers on your team, and they haven't been able to do it all season long. That was one of the problems. Inconsistent goaltending at the middle part of the season, even though I thought overall it was okay. But the reaction of the team once Jake Guentzel was traded was not very good either, as they went, I think, 2-7-1 in those 10 games that followed. And little things like that make a big difference. We cite them as they happen, knowing that blown leads in the third period will come back to haunt you, and that you have an opportunity to build up a little separation with other teams. And it just did not happen for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And as a result, they missed by just, 1 point in the standings, basically, and they could have changed things around, but that did not happen. So they're out. That means New York Islanders, third in their division. They take on Carolina, first game today. That'll be at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and that is the first game of these NHL playoffs. And then later tonight, it's Toronto-Boston, and that should be a very good series for sure. Tomorrow, then, a whole bunch of other series begin. Tampa Bay and Florida, the Battle of Florida right there, and those two teams are good teams. The Florida Panthers have a lot, and they made on a run last year. I expect they're going to be a tough out this year. The Capitals and Rangers, I would expect the Rangers to win that in short order. Washington had the worst goal differential of any team in the NHL this year and somehow got in, mostly because teams around them just gave up too much. And, you know, again, a team like the Penguins, you gotta when you have leads in the third period, you got to put it away. They got to play differently. They have to manage games differently. It did not happen, and they end up paying the price for it. And then tomorrow night, it's Colorado-Winnipeg in game one of their series. And that'll be an interesting series. Nashville-Vancouver play at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Jim Rutherford, Rick Tocchet, and his Canucks are expected to do some damage here. We'll see. He had a very nice regular season. And now they're expected to take the next step in these NHL playoffs. 412-928-9370 is the number, and we're also getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, which begins next Thursday night. We have a couple of specials coming your way on KDK-TV. One of them will be a 50th look back, 50-year anniversary of the 1974 draft, one that produced five Hall of Famers. That'll never happen again. I'm fairly sure of that you would get, especially now today in seven rounds, how are you going to get five Hall of Famers? They had more rounds back then, but still, one of them was undrafted in Donnie Schell. We have a special coming up this week on KDK, so stay tuned for that. We also will have a draft special on Saturday night, wrapping up what we see, and I know a lot of people have their ideas of what the Steelers need in this draft. Call and let me know what you think at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. As we get going here today from the PRBC Association opening day for baseball and softball here in Pine Richland. A lot of kids here, as I said, 1,300 of them. And it's good to see that many people interested in baseball, because there's a lot of things that dominate kids' interest these days. And baseball is one of those sports that it doesn't take all that much to get involved in. You can practice it a lot, get better fairly quickly, I think, if you have the right coaches around you. And in all of these teams up here, they got some really good coaches who take their jobs here very seriously. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Pirates, you know, one of the things I got to see more of is people like not only Cruz but Hayes. When you talk about Henry Davis, I've said here for the first couple of weeks that he's got his hands full with working as a catcher on a regular basis because of the injury to Andy Rodriguez. Grandal got injured, although he's back on a rehab. They brought in a guy who's a pretty good player, second overall, Joey Bart. I think eventually, if things don't work out and there's no problem at times sending guys back to the minors and working on their issues, Henry Davis has got to hit better. He's got to put the ball in play. He's got to hit for power. He's not doing any of that right now. And when you combine that with the numbers of Cruz and Hayes and even some of the power numbers that you see, you expect more from Rowdy Tellez. That's why they brought him here, to deliver those kinds of things. It just has not happened. You're going against better pitching. You're going against better teams. But you got to respond to it. The way they started at 9-2 gave false hope, I think. For this moment, it's now 11-9 in Major League Baseball. It was once again. Skeens was terrific down, and you heard some of the interview yesterday with Pony and Muller. He was on with them, and he's a very articulate young man. He knows what he's trying to do. I think he seems to be a sponge for learning, but he's been unhittable down in four starts down in AAA. Is when does he move up here? He's an extra year that you don't have to worry about one extra year of control. That's okay for now. Now it's just a matter of building him up and being here. And I know everybody's cautious with these guys. When you throw 100 miles an hour, and he's had 74 pitches over 100 miles an hour, that's a lot. level, only one guy has over 17. So that's a huge disparity. And Jared Jones is a guy who can do it as well. So, you know, these are big investments for the Pirates. I get it. But at some point, and I would imagine two outings from now, he's going to be up here. He has to be. They need him now, too. And they need another starter the way things are going. They've had injuries. They've had other things. But Skeens is blowing people away. He said the other day that he was not happy with his pitch count in 3 1/3, 65 pitches. I get that. But when you're a strikeout pitcher, I think naturally you're going to throw more pitches as well. And he struck out 8 in that game. And so far in 12 and 2/3 strikeouts, which is remarkable. He struck out 8 of the 11 guys he faced the other day. When he gets here, they certainly need him to be here, and they need him to be what they expect him to be. But this is his first full season away from college. And you got to remember that, too. I think they have a plan in place. I respect that because I think they want to make sure that when he's up here, he can last for the rest of the regular season. So, what do you think about that? When would you bring him up? 412-928-9370. Call. Air your opinions right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Also, last night, the NBA play-in game. Two of them to find out who would be the eighth seeds. Miami beat Chicago. They get the right to take on Boston. Miami's a team that you got to watch out for. Even though Jimmy Butler's going to be out for a couple of weeks, it looks like, they got some players on that team, and Eric Spoelstra seems to get the best out of his team at this time of the year. Boston will be heavily favored, and they are by far the best team in basketball this year, regular season-wise. But I think they're beatable. I do. I think they're a team that could be had. Miami may have the right recipe for that. And in the West, as many times as I thought Sacramento was going to finally beat New Orleans, just doesn't happen. Six times this year now. They're 0-6, and they didn't even have Zion Williamson, which is surprising to me. So now the Pelicans go up against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is a team I've been riding all year. I love that young combination they have with Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those two guys together are really where they work well. They got some depth beyond that. They got some outside shooting. They got a lot. And for my money, the MVP of the league, even though I think Doncic will probably get it this year, it has to be Gilgeous-Alexander. I really believe that without him, there's nobody more valuable to his team than him. There are a lot of guys you can bring up in this conversation. I've been following, and sorry if I'm boring you NBA non-fans, but Victor Wembanyama is a guy that came into this league as a rookie with San Antonio, number one overall pick, 257 blocks on the year. Now, I want to put that in perspective for you. If you look at, and he's 7'5", so he should block shots, but he's been really good. He's a three-point shooter. He could do a lot of other things as well. They're going to be really good in time, I think, with him being what he is. But if you look at the top shot blockers in the NBA, name one for me, and I'll tell you that their two-year totals are less than what Wembanyama has put up in 1 year. So he's that dominant on the defensive side, and he's very good on the offensive side as well. So a lot of interesting stuff going on there. Those playoffs also begin this weekend. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. We'll begin with Bill in Baldwin. Hello, Bill. How are you today?
Pretty good. I'm going to stay along that topic here. Who name a series in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the NBA playoffs that you're going to sit down and watch every game for in this first round?
Well, I like it all, so I watch a lot of games. You know, I'm very interested to see, you know, the Battle of Florida, Tampa Bay and Florida Panthers. I think those are two high-power teams. I love the fact that Florida has some grit to their game. I think Tampa's getting older, getting up there in years, and I'm not so sure if they have enough to beat that team. That's one I'm certainly going to watch. I think, you know, if you look at some of these other ones, I think Colorado-Winnipeg could be a good series. I'm not so sure that Winnipeg is capable of beating them, but I think they could give them everything that they can handle. The other one is Vegas-Dallas. Vegas is a team that has a lot of talent, but Dallas has been one of the better teams all season long. I think their goaltender, Ottinger, has been unbelievable. So I look for that to be a great series in hockey.
So Winnipeg outscored Colorado 17-4. What, 3-0 against them this season, and is an underdog in the series. That's pretty wild.
Well, that's only because of, you know, Colorado and Nathan MacKinnon and the high power they have. But you're right, Winnipeg has a way of beating them. I think they beat them 7-0 the last time they played them.
They did, about 2 weeks ago.
I realize it was
probably
an insignificant game. Yeah, but, you
know.
It
really was. It was for home ice in this series.
The recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the game was for home ice in this series.
As far as the NBA, Yeah, let me ask you what you think of these series. The Lakers and Nuggets strikes me as one I'm really interested in seeing. The Lakers got in because of their play-in tournament, but they've been playing very well. And when you got the guys they have, like LeBron James, who you got to admire what he's been able to do at his age, and Anthony Davis is healthy, that's a tough matchup, although I do expect Denver to win it.
Steamrolled them last year, and I know Davis wasn't really himself last year in that series, but that one isn't that compelling to me, to be honest. The Cavs have won nothing, and they lost on purpose last week of the season to dictate not playing Philadelphia. I think that's a bad look going into the playoffs. I got a bad feeling about their series with Orlando. I think that's going to be an interesting series.
I think Orlando's a better team than people think, too. If you watch them play, yeah, they're capable of doing some. But Cleveland should win that series. If they wouldn't, I'd be very disappointed.
I don't like how they went into the playoffs. I don't know why everybody's afraid of Philadelphia. Embiid obviously makes a difference, but his conditioning probably isn't up to snuff. And I think in a seven-game series, he'll probably run out of gas. I mean, he does most years anyway. That's why they haven't really gone to the finals with the team that they have. And I expect that the Knicks are going to dispatch them in five or six games pretty easily.
Well, they don't have Julius Randle, you know, but they do have Bill, a guy who should be considered for MVP, Jalen Brunson. He's been terrific.
They got two guys that played at Villanova.
Got rid of him in the first place.
They got two guys that played at Villanova that are going to love going back to Philadelphia and beating that team, I think. Because they have DeVincenzo, too.
No, I agree, and thank you for the call. I'm glad you have NBA interest because it is fun. This time of the year is a fun time for me. It's one of the better times of the year, actually, when I get to watch, and we all do, some of these great matchups that best of seven, anything can happen. And I've seen it over and over, especially in hockey, where eight meets one. You never know how these series are going to work. And Winnipeg, Colorado is a very interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out, Bill, because that can certainly be the situation that you may see an upset in that series. I wouldn't expect it, but you never know. Let's go out to Dan in the car. Dan joins us right here on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Hello, Bob. Hey, I went to the game last night, and my perception a lot of time of O'Neal Cruz is that he's lazy. There was a play last night. It was a play up the middle. I don't know if they would have had to play at second, but he didn't even go to second base. And then a lot of times, I know he has a great arm, but sometimes I just feel like he doesn't throw the ball like the way he should. Maybe because he's so big. But, I watched the kid for Cincinnati. It's like the same like look of him. And he's killing the ball. He looks great. So far, Cruz looks pretty much like overmatched. When he gets a curve ball. I know it's early and he has all the potential. But the guy I just don't like the way he looks when he plays.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't use the word lazy. I just think he's a different type of build, and because of it, it's hard to look at him the same way as someone who's smaller and has shorter strides. He just has big strides. It may look to you like he's not, but he covers a lot of ground. I think he has to just understand the pitch count is significant, how batters react to being down in counts. He has to change the way he thinks. I also think he's taken too many good pitches. You know, it's really difficult in this league when you get one that's in the middle of the zone. You got to make an offer. He needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I think Derek Shelton talked about that the other day. And until that happens, he's going to be down in counts, and then you're at the pitcher's disposal, and that's never a good situation, especially for basically a second-year player.
And then Henry Davis, again, all the just waiting for him, but I don't know. He doesn't seem to be getting any better. And how long do they wait that he's going to hit with with Grandal coming back and with the guy they got from San Francisco? There's two catchers that
Joey Bart
may be playing better than him.
Yeah, I think if this hitting problem continues, again, there's no shame in going down and working on your problems in minors. A lot of guys have done it who are big-time names in the game. So he's got to start hitting. And if not, you can't keep throwing him out there every single day if this position's getting healthier. And, again, I think Joey Bart deserves to play a little bit because of what he's been able to do in limited times here. But they're trying to get him, Henry Davis, back on track. And if it requires going to the minors, and so be it, he has to start hitting. It's a big part of what they have invested in him, the bat, not so much even the glove or behind the plate. It's good he's doing that now. I wanted to see it, and I think he looks okay back there, but it's the bat that is the attraction. All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. One more before we go to break, and that would be the counselor in the car. Counselor, how are you?
Hey, fine. Well, getting over a bad cold, but I'm going to finish the antibiotic. Anyway, regarding the Pirates, I'm just repeating, but O'Neill Cruz is looking at too many pitches. He's being too patient. And there's pitches that he could hit that he's letting go, and they end up strikes, and then he is down in the count, and then he's got a, you know, he's at a disadvantage. The other thing is, I think the Pirates' defense needs to be better, too. There's a lot of plays. I understand some of them were going to be a tough play, but they've got to be made because you don't have the extra leeway, since you're not hitting that well anyway, to not make those plays and be in games, you know? I know it was going to be a tough sketch.
You know, he has got to be more aggressive at the plate. He has got to be able to decipher a pitch that's going to be hung in the strike zone and one that isn't. Don't swing at the one that's in the ground. He's been doing that, or chasing those inside pitches that drop out of the strike zone versus taking pitches that I think are better than that. He knows what he has to work on, and he has to get better at it. It's that simple. So this team cannot function by scoring one or two runs a night. It just does not happen, and no team will win on a consistent basis, and that's what they didn't get their run last night until the ninth inning. So it's got to be better than that. But, Counselor, thanks. I appreciate it. Good. Hope your cold gets better. We got to go to a break here. We got Bob in Mount Lebanon coming up. Bob, hang on. We'll get to you. We are live today. Pine Richland. This is a great baseball and softball community up here. It's the PRBS, Pine Richland Baseball Softball Association. It's opening day, and 1,300 kids are here in all these different fields. Unlike last year when it rained, it got rained out. This is a much more beautiful day. Sunny, a little windy, as we can attest, because our the fan tent blew away here. So it's like the Wizard of Oz. It just keeps moving all over the place. But we're here until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370. Call 412-928-9370. I'm Bob Pompeiani. We'll continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are back live at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day here in Pine Richland. 1,300 kids, Richland Community Park here, and they're all here. Beautiful day to get out. A little windy, but so be it. It's better than last year when they were completely rained out. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I want to remind you, our fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. I told you about the text line. You can hit it up anytime. Brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show is brought to you by Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with expressway cochran.com. Number One Cochran is the number one place to go if you're looking for a new car. Also, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting. Need a new roof? They are the best. Get them at irelandcontracting.com. Also, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Later in the hour, we'll have the weather, which is going to be what you see. Chilly, windy, temperature not hitting 60, but that'll come up a little later in the broadcast. In the meantime, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. And we're going to go back to that and talk to Bobby the Legend, who is on the air right now. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Pomp, thanks for taking my call. Sure. You know what, since you were talking a little, chatting a little bit about the NBA, you know, we got to root and holler for Pittsburgh's own T.J. McConnell. Give him a quick shout out. I don't know if you've been checking out his stats, but the last...
He should be the sixth man of the year. He should be the sixth man of the year in the NBA.
The last 2 months, you know, his stats are incredible, and you know him coming off the bench is fantastic. And they might have a shot because the Greek Freak's hurt. So, you know, and I kind of like that.
I'm just saying you're right about Antetokounmpo not being there is a major factor for now. So I do think they have the outside shooting to be able to deal with it. And I think TJ, you know, I ran into his aunt the other day, and it's amazing how he's changed. I mean, not just as a competitor from his days when he was at Duquesne University and moved on to Arizona, whatever, his whole personality has really flourished in the NBA. His hairstyle's better. I think his personality's better. He's a gamer. He's a talker. He never used to talk like that, you know. He's full confidence mode right now, and it shows when he comes off the bench.
And I, as you mentioned, the Orlando team, the kid from Duke's lighting it up, and he's, you know, he's a natural talent, a star in the NBA right now. So, yeah, hats off to the NBA. It's worth watching.
Yeah, and I do. We talked about this before. I'd like to hear what a lot of people say at 412-928-9370 about their play-in game. I think it would be fun to have that in the NHL. I really do. Now, you're always going to have critics, and some will say, well, why play a regular season? It diminishes your regular season if you're going to have a one-game shootout. All it does is create more interest, I think, and money. And let's not fool each other here. Money is the reason the NBA went to this. It's major ratings for four different, you know, games, and people are into it. Now, if you're one of those teams who fall in the 7, 8, 9, 10 category, try to avoid it. So bottom line is I think it's good for business. I think the NHL can use anything that's good for their business, and I would like to see that at least considered as a future change. Speaking of changes, thanks, Bobby, for the call. The NCAA, I don't know if you guys saw this, approved a 2-minute warning and helmet communication for 2024. Now, what they're trying to do is do what the NFL does, replicate that, and get these guys ready for it. The other thing that I really love is the fact they're going to try to speed up the game by not stopping the clock on every first down. This, in the final 2 minutes, will be the same. They'll stop it after first downs, but not during the regular course of the game. Because when you think about it, college football takes 4 hours plus sometimes to play a 60-minute game. It should not take 4 hours to play a 60-minute game. So they're going to also have the communication, just like the pros do with the green dot. Quarterbacks will be able to hear instead of running to the sideline and try to figure out what's coming up next in the play. I think this is all good, and it was approved, and honestly, it was much needed for college football. That'll take place starting next year. Back to the lines we go. O'Hara Township, we got Rob. Rob's on the line right now. Hey, Rob, welcome.
Thanks, Bob. I got some thoughts on the Penguins. I wanted to see where you come down on it. This is a team that's in transition with the Big Three, and I agree with you when you said earlier in the week that they should keep Sullivan. One of the things I find amazing, when the team tanked when they traded Getzel for those 10 games, nobody pointed at Crosby, who's the team captain, who should have been correcting that in the locker room. And my other thought is, Carlson isn't a defenseman. They need to move him up the center or the right wing for this coming season. And if he won't do it, then they need to ship him to Siberia, because they can't win with him turning the puck over like that and nobody being back.
Well, Rob, I thought what you said earlier with that 1-7-2 swoon right around the trade deadline, if you're going to compliment the team for being, you know, proud of the group, they're mature, they handled it down, then you also have to be critical of that stretch. That was a terrible stretch, and it basically cost them the playoffs. They blew games in there. There were third-period leads gone. And as far as Erik Karlsson, I don't think there's any shot of them moving him. So what I saw the last 3 weeks with him was a better Erik Karlsson. He needs to bottle that and do it all season long. He's too talented not to. The thing with him is, you're right, he's the defenseman by position, but he's really more than that, sometimes less than that. When you win the Norris Trophy as the defenseman of the year or the best defenseman, it's because of his offense. He had 101 points last year. This year, 40 fewer points, and he was, still a very positive player at times. But if you're going to be the quarterback of the power play, you've got to do better than what they've done. I would have removed him from that. I'd still put Letang back there over him. They got to make adjustments too, and he has to realize that. But I think year two for him here will be better, as I do with Ryan Graves. I think Robert has to be. If it's not better with Ryan Graves, they've got some problems back there, and they have too much of the same on their blue line, you know? I agree with that assessment. I think they need to get bigger, stronger, more defensive-minded, which is why I liked St. Ivany and Ryan Chey the way they played. I think when you play that way, like Pettersson does, you don't have to have a whole bunch of those guys, but you need some of those guys. You can't have everyone pinching at the wrong times of the game.
I agree. I mean, I just don't understand when everybody criticizes Dubas and Sullivan, that, Crosby didn't get any of that criticism. He's the captain of the team. He should have been able to turn the tables around when they hit that swoon.
Well, when you're the captain, there are a lot of responsibilities. And thanks, Rob, for the call from O'Hara Township. I agree with that. But it was just a whole malaise there. And again, as tight as this was going to be, you knew that every point was precious. They all knew that. Too many times they gave points away. And when you know, if you had told me at the beginning of the season I have one of the worst power plays in the NHL and also one of the worst records in overtime, I would have laughed because that's what they're built to win for. That's why you have elite talent. 412-928-9370. John in Mount Washington joins us right now. John, what's going on?
Yeah, Bob, I'm like sitting there, got all this Henry Davis talk, and I'm sitting there listening to you as usual on Saturday. And he's got to get it going. I agree, all this fire. He reminds me, I've been around a while like you, he reminds me of Dale Murphy. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, number three for the Atlanta Braves, sure.
Drafted as a catcher in mid-70s, I remember. I think for 2 years he couldn't handle it back there, and then they moved him to first. He led the league in errors, but he got out in the outfield. He got settled in that two years, remember?
Yeah, if he can turn out to be Dale Murphy, I'll be happy with that.
I thought of Murphy right away, Bob.
Well, I mean, at this point, there's – yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate it. At this point, there's no – I mean, they're playing Taylor, Reynolds, and Sawinski largely out there. Sawinski's another guy. I didn't mention him, but he needs to get going more consistently as well. He's a home run hitter, but, again, you got to be more – this whole team needs to put the ball in play more. They strike out too much. They swing at too many pitches. All of that needs to change. You got to manufacture runs sometimes. You're not going to always hit long ball. They don't have a lot of power to begin with. So it has to take place that way. We're due for a break. Hey, George in Pittsburgh, hang on. Bill in Uniontown, you'll be coming up. We're live today at – the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. It's a beautiful day here. 1,300 kids here, all sorts of kids, girls, boys, learning their craft here with baseball and softball. It's good to see. We'll be here until 1 o'clock. Again, call George and Bill. You'll be up next, 412-928-9370. Bob Pompiani with you right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back live. Once again, we're at the PRBC. That stands for Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association right here. And what a beautiful day it is. It's windy. We will attest to that. Tom and I and Matthew here watching everything blow away, including our entire set. But we're battling through. 1,300 kids are here, ages 3 to 18. They have six fields. They'll be occupied all day long. And we're talking sports with you until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go out to George in Pittsburgh, who's been waiting on the line. What's up, George?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm here. Got a question about Paul Skye. Why don't they bring him up as a long receiver, especially if they would pitch with Jones, 4 innings each? They could stretch him out as long as they wanted, but they'd at least be getting a major league experience without, doing their 9-inning thing. And my second thing is, what happened when Bob Friend, Brian Law, and Steve Blass come out? Did they pitch them 3 innings and sit them down after three? Really curious.
George, that's a different time, a different place, and a different strategy, and I get it. We were just talking up here with some of the guys at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association about how it used to be. If you went out and told Bob Gibson you're coming out of the game after 58 pitches, he'd probably hit you if you were the manager. That wasn't going to happen. But things have changed. The spin factor, the arm strain, I'd have to talk to some experts on this. Has it changed that dramatically? Those guys pitched 9-10 innings. They didn't miss starts. Their pitch counts weren't even talked about. It was just, do you feel good? Sure, let's go. And if you don't, okay, we won't. But now everything is under microscopic analysis, and I guess most of it is because of the money they have invested in all of these guys. They're not going to want to blow out anyone's arm. And again, I need a scientific I want to talk to people who do this. Are the arm injuries, which seem to be chronic right now with all these guys, are they happening more or less? And if so, why? Is it strictly the rotation? Maybe they're starting the guys way too young. They're in high school. Like we're here at the Softball and Baseball Association today. Maybe these people are starting way too young and strain on their arms that results in, stress, wear and tear, and eventually, Tommy John surgery. I don't know, but it is changed. I got to believe more than anything, George, it is money. It is an investment. They're not going to want to put guys at risk unnecessarily, especially to start their career.
If I remember correctly, Vernon Law has the record for number of innings pitched straight. And I don't know if you heard my first question, but why don't they bring up Stein and pitch him with Jones, and then you pitch three or four innings?
They're not going to do that. I think Paul Skenes will be up here before you know it, though. I do. I think, you know, they've already met the requirements to keep him for another year in the organization. So that's over and done with. They need to – they're going to try. He has 65 pitches. I would bet for you that early in May he will be recalled and he will start. He needs to start. They need him. But more than that, they need better hitting. Their hitting stinks right now, George. And when you're a major league team scoring one run a game, I don't care who's on the mound, you're not going to win.
Well, thank you, my friend. That's what I
got. All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. At 412-928-9370 on this beautiful day here, let's go out to Bill in Uniontown. Hey, Bill, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you?
Pretty good. I'd like to know why the Pirates are on a four-game losing streak. Couldn't they just shuffle their lineup around like...
Well, they're on a four-game losing streak because they can't hit the baseball, number one. They're stranding too many runners, number two. And when you do that, you put an extra strain on your pitchers. You know, they got to be perfect almost. And they haven't been perfect. So it's a combination of everything. It's not unlike what a lot of teams will go through. I don't care how good or bad you are. You know, I looked at the Houston Astros this year, you know. They're off to a 6-14 start. 6-14. Think about that. That's a team that has World Series aspirations. They're not hitting the ball. Some of their best hitters are struggling. And they're 6-14. So... that's going to change. It's just that it happens at the beginning of the season, which garners more attention, as it does here in Pittsburgh. When you're 9-2, it's not an indication that you're that sort of baseball team for the whole year. You got off to a good start. Try to minimize the valleys, and right now this is a pretty good valley they're in.
Okay.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Call.
You're welcome. Kennedy Township is our next destination. Tim is on the line. Hello, Tim. What's going on today?
Bob, it's a frustrated Penguin fan. May I use your airwaves to vent a bit?
Sure, that's what this is for. It could be helpful to you, so you get it out of your system and your blood pressure reduces.
Thank you. You're doing your caller a service. You know, Eller came out and said that the Penguins threw away that 1-7-2 stretch, 10 games, about 12% of the season, because they had the boo-boo face over their buddy Jake getting traded. And... you know, that's unprofessional behavior for professional athletes to go into the tank for that long of a time because of a trade. You know, in 92, they traded away Recchi and Coffey and went out and won the Cup. So
exactly.
These guys take the opposite tack. They turn into, well, babies and flush the season. And then it comes to the closeout time, and what's got me angry is Sullivan comes out in his closing press conference, Bob, and instead of calling out the team for that lack of professionalism, he passed them on the back and saying, well, I like the way they recovered from, what did he call it, the situation. No! You're congratulating the arsonist for helping to put out the fire. And it really is an insight as to how the team is managed, Bob, when you've got the players admitting that they flushed the season because they had a boo-boo face over trading Gensel, and instead of calling them out, you're patting them on the back. I thought that was an insight as to why things aren't able to be changed there, because the coach, instead of calling them out, is happy to pat them on the back when they're not quite as bad as they were before.
Yeah, I totally agree, Tim. Yeah, you should be, and it's unacceptable, and you're right. And so what? It's a business. You know, I think sometimes the people in charge become too immersed with the talent that they have. Yeah, they're Hall of Famers. Yeah, we want to keep them around. Yes, we really, you know, it is a business. You have to make decisions that are hardcore, and as players you should know that. You know, I've said for a long time, Tim, I'm not a big fan at all of having no trade clauses. When that got into the lexicon, I hate it, because, listen, if you're going to make what you make, millions of dollars, I have the right to move you when I want. And because this now doesn't exist, they're stuck a little bit in this situation. And they're all great players, don't get me wrong. Crosby showed me he can still play for another whatever. He'll sign, and he should, to stay here if he wants to. But, you know, everybody else, I would reserve that to one iconic player. I wouldn't give everyone.
I agree.
You know, you look at their team, they got all these guys, you can't move them, or partial trades. They decide where you can go. You can mess up on a, you know, if you're a GM, your livelihood becomes in jeopardy because you are handcuffed. So I don't like it. I don't like the response that I saw there. And you're right. Mike Sullivan did not need to congratulate them on how they ended this season. What he did need to do is be critical of them when they were throwing points away. And as much as I understand, and I said this week that I'm not in favor of firing Mike Sullivan, I do think there have to be tweaks on their coaching staff. But what I do like to see once in a while is a public response from the coach, any coach, when things are not going well. I want to see a little anger. If you're really upset with him, you know, let him know through the media.
Exactly.
And I'm not telling you, Tim, to go full tort on me, full Tortorella. You know, he gets a little bit out of control there. But what I'm saying is every now and then, this team needs a little awakening. You know, this is not a country club. Just because you're here on a long-term contract and we can't trade you doesn't mean you get to decide who stays and who goes. Jake Guentzel exactly. needed to be traded because they couldn't come up to a term. He didn't want to accept the money they wanted, so be it. You move on, and hopefully the trade they have, Bunting's a good player. I hope these other guys work too. But you can't have it both ways. If you want all these guys to hang around, then, you know, at some point, if it doesn't work, they got to be moved. So that's I just – it frustrates me that this no-trade clause ever existed in sports. I think it's terrible.
Well, the other thing, too, Bob, is there's the other aspect of this, too. You know, the Penguins just told us that they threw away 12% of the season, and the season ticket invoices came out last month. Am I going to get a 12% discount because they threw away 12% of the season because they were in a bad mood?
No.
And the other thing
not.
About these no-trade clauses, they're not going to waive them. Can you understand why? Can you blame them? You're going to be able to throw away 12% of your season, and a coach is going to pat you on the back. I wouldn't throw away that no-trade clause either. I'd be happy to stay here. This place is great.
Exactly. And this is what happens, though, when you get a whole bunch of guys they want to keep together. And again, I understand it because it is a sport that needs its gate, and the Penguins need to sell tickets. And you can sell it with people like Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, and even Carlson, even though he's been here for only one year. My point is, the bottom line is you're still trying to win every year. And if that's your
yep.
goal, you make it very much more difficult on yourself when you're stuck with certain contracts that you cannot get rid of. And
absolutely. And real
you know,
quick, Bob,
I just think that things have gotten too far in favor of the players.
Absolutely.
And I think they deserve the money they get. Don't get me wrong. There's money to be made, and they should. But you shouldn't give them everything else so that your job is almost impossible to pull off.
Should Sullivan's seat be a little hot at the start of the season, Bob?
Probably, yes. I mean, I think, you know, next year's a big year. If they're true to their word that they want to try to compete for a Stanley Cup, 2 years in a row haven't made it, you know, we'll see. But right now I'm not, I still really respect him as a head coach. I think he knows a lot about what goes on with this team. I think the roster is challenged, again, in part because of what I said to you, Tim. But, you know, this is more roster compilation to me than it is anything else. And the fact, and don't forget this, by trying to win as much as they did back in 16, 17, even beyond that, they gave up some draft picks. They don't have a lot of answers in their system. And this is the price of mortgaging futures. It happens. And if you want to win, you want to win championships, you have to understand there is a time when it goes the other way, and this is that time.
Bob, thank you. My blood pressure's down, and this is season ticket holder. Thanks you because it'll be a better afternoon.
Tim, Dr. Bob, appreciate your business. The check will be in the mail. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have another hour to go. And Joel Nelson's back. He'll have an update. All right, welcome back live. Once again, we're at the PRBC. That stands for Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association right here. And what a beautiful day it is. It's windy. We will attest to that. Tom and I and Matthew are here watching everything blow away, including our entire set. But we're battling through. 1,300 kids are here, ages 3 to 18. They have 6 fields. They'll be occupied all day long. And we're talking sports with you until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go out to George in Pittsburgh, who's been waiting on the line. What's up, George?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm here. Got a question about Paul Stein. Why don't they bring him up as a long receiver, especially if they would pitch with Jones, 4 innings each? They could stretch him out as long as they wanted, but they'd at least be getting a major league experience without, doing their 9-inning thing. And my second thing is, what happened when Bob Friend, Brian Law, and Steve Flass come out? Did they pitch them three innings and sit them down after three? Really,
George, that's a different time, a different place, and a different strategy, and I get it. We were just talking up here with some of the guys at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association about how it used to be. With if you went out and told Bob Gibson you're coming out of the game after 58 pitches, he'd probably hit you if you were the manager. That wasn't going to happen. But things have changed. The spin factor, the arm strain. You know, I'd have to talk to some experts on this. Has it changed that dramatically? Those guys pitched 9-10 innings. They didn't miss starts. They were their pitch counts weren't even talked about. It was just, do you feel good? Sure, let's go. And if you don't, okay, we won't. But now everything is under microscopic analysis, and I guess most of it is because of the money they have invested in all of these guys. They're not going to want to blow out anyone's arm. And again, I need a scientific I want to talk to people who do this. Are the arm injuries, which seem to be chronic right now with all these guys, are they happening more or less? And if so, why? Is it strictly the rotation? Maybe they're starting the guys way too young. You know, they're in high school. Like we're here at the Softball and Baseball Association today. Maybe these people are starting way too young and strain on their arms that results in, you know, stress, wear and tear, and eventually, you know, Tommy John surgery. I don't know, but it is changed. I got to believe more than anything, George, it is money. It is an investment. They're not going to want to put guys at risk unnecessarily, especially to start their career.
Well, if I remember correctly, Brian Law has the record for number of innings pitched straight. And I don't know if you heard my first question, but why don't they bring up Stein and pitch him with Jones, and then you pitch three or four innings?
They're not going to do that. I think Paul Skenes will be up here before you know it, though. I do. I think, you know, they've already met the requirements to keep him for another year in the organization. So that's over and done with. They need to – they're going to try – he has 65 pitches. I would bet for you that early in May he will be recalled and he will start. He needs to start. They need him. But more than that, they need better hitting. Their hitting stinks right now, George. And when you're a major league team scoring one run a game, I don't care who's on the mound, you're not going to win.
Well, thank you, my friend. That's what I got.
All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. At 412-928-9370 on this beautiful day here, let's go out to Bill in Uniontown. Hey, Bill, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you?
Pretty good. I'd like to know why the Pirates are on a four-game losing streak. Couldn't they just shuffle their lineup around like...
Well, they're on a four-game losing streak because they can't hit the baseball, number one. They're stranding too many runners, number two. And when you do that, you put an extra strain on your pitchers. You know, they got to be perfect almost. And they haven't been perfect. So it's a combination of everything. It's not unlike what a lot of teams will go through. I don't care how good or bad you are. You know, I looked at the Houston Astros this year. You know, they're off to a 6-14 start. 6-14. Think about that. That's a team that has World Series aspirations. They're not hitting the ball. Some of their best hitters are struggling. And they're 6-14. So... that's going to change. It's just that it happens at the beginning of the season, which garners more attention, as it does here in Pittsburgh. When you're 9-2, it's not an indication that you're that sort of baseball team for the whole year. You got off to a good start. Try to minimize the valleys, and right now this is a pretty good valley they're in.
Okay.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Call.
You're welcome. Kennedy Township is our next destination. Tim is on the line. Hello, Tim. What's going on today?
Bob, it's a frustrated Penguin fan. May I use your airwaves to vent a bit?
Sure, that's what this is for. It could be helpful to you, so you get it out of your system, and your blood pressure reduces.
Thank you. You're doing your caller a service. You know, Eller came out and said that the Penguins threw away that 1-7-2 stretch, 10 games, about 12% of the season, because they had the boo boo face over their buddy Jake getting traded, and. You know, that's unprofessional behavior for professional athletes to go into the tank for that long of a time because of a trade. You know, in 92, they traded away Recchi and Coffey and went out and won the Cup.
Exactly.
So these guys take the opposite tack. They turn into, well, babies and flush the season. And then it comes to the closeout time, and what's got me angry is Sullivan comes out in his closing press conference, Bob, and instead of calling out the team for that lack of professionalism, he passed them on the back and saying, well, I like the way they recovered from, what did he call it, the situation. No!
what you're congratulating the arsonist for helping to put out the fire. And it really is an insight as to how the team is managed, Bob, when you've got the players admitting that they flushed the season because they had a boo-boo face over trading Gensel, and instead of calling them out, you're patting them on the back. I thought that was an insight as to why things aren't able to be changed there, because the coach, instead of calling them out, is happy to pat them on the back when they're not quite as bad as they were before.
Yeah, I totally agree, Tim. Yeah, you should be, and it's unacceptable, and you're right. And so what? It's a business. You know, I think sometimes the people in charge become too immersed with the talent that they have. Yeah, they're Hall of Famers. Yeah, we want to keep them around. Yes, we really, you know, it is a business. You have to make decisions that are hardcore, and as players, you should know that. You know, I've said for a long time, Tim, I'm not a big fan at all of having no trade clauses. When that got into the lexicon, I hate it, because, listen, if you're going to make what you make, millions of dollars, I have the right to move you when I want. And because this now doesn't exist, they're stuck a little bit in this situation. And they're all great players, don't get me wrong. Crosby showed me he can still play for another whatever. He'll sign, and he should, to stay here if he wants to. But, you know, everybody else, I would reserve that to one iconic player. I wouldn't give everyone.
I agree.
You know, you look at their team, they got all these guys, you can't move them, or partial trades. They decide where you can go. You can mess out on a, you know, if you're a GM, your livelihood becomes in jeopardy because you are handcuffed. So I don't like it. I don't like the response that I saw there. And you're right. Mike Sullivan did not need to congratulate them on how they ended this season. What he did need to do is be critical of them when they were throwing points away. And as much as I understand, and I said this week that I'm not in favor of firing Mike Sullivan, I do think there have to be tweaks on their coaching staff. But what I do like to see once in a while is a public response from the coach, any coach, when things are not going well. I want to see a little anger. If you're really upset with him, you know, let him know through the media.
Exactly.
And I'm not telling you, Tim, to go full tort on me, full Tortorella. You know, he gets a little bit out of control there. But what I'm saying is, every now and then, this team needs a little awakening. You know, this is not a country club. Just because you're here on a long-term contract and we can't trade you doesn't mean you get to decide who stays and who goes. Jake Gensel
exactly.
needed to be traded because they couldn't come up to a term. He didn't want to accept the money they wanted, so be it. You move on, and hopefully the trade they have, Bunting's a good player. I hope these other guys work too. But you can't have it both ways. If you want all these guys to hang around, then, you know, at some point, if it doesn't work, they got to be moved. So that's it frustrates me that this no-trade clause ever existed in sports. I think it's terrible.
Well, the other thing, too, Bob, is there's the other aspect of this, too. You know, the Penguins just told us that they threw away 12% of the season, and the season ticket invoices came out last month. Am I going to get a 12% discount because they threw away 12% of the season because they were in a bad mood?
No.
And the other thing
not.
About these no-trade clauses, they're not going to waive them. Can you understand why? Can you blame them? You're going to be able to throw away 12% of your season, and a coach is going to pat you on the back. I wouldn't throw away that no-trade clause either. I'd be happy to stay here. This place is great.
Exactly. And this is what happens, though, when you get a whole bunch of guys that want to keep together. And again, I understand it, because it is a sport that needs its gate, and the Penguins need to sell tickets. And you can sell it with people like Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, and even Carlson, even though he's been here for only one year. My point is, the bottom line is, you're still trying to win every year. And if that's your goal, you make it very much more difficult on yourself when you're stuck with certain contracts that you cannot get rid of. And
absolutely. And real quick, Bob, I just
think that things have gotten too far in favor of the players.
Absolutely.
And I think they deserve the money they get. Don't get me wrong. There's money to be made, and they should. But you shouldn't give them everything else so that your job is almost impossible to pull off.
Should Sullivan's seat be a little hot at the start of the season, Bob?
Probably, yes. I mean, I think, you know, next year's a big year. If they're true to their word that they want to try to compete for a Stanley Cup, 2 years in a row haven't made it, you know, we'll see. But right now, I still really respect him as a head coach. I think he knows a lot about what goes on.
with this team. I think the roster is challenged, again, in part because of what I said to you, Tim. But, you know, this is more roster compilation to me than it is anything else. And the fact, and don't forget this, by trying to win as much as they did back in 16, 17, even beyond that, they gave up some draft picks. They don't have a lot of answers in their system. And this is the price of mortgaging futures. It happens. And if you want to win, you want to win championships, you have to understand there is a time when it goes the other way, and this is that time.
Bob, thank you. My blood pressure's down, and this is season ticket holder. Thanks you, because it'll be a better afternoon.
Tim, Dr. Bob, appreciate your business. The check will be in the mail. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have another hour to go. And Joel Nelson's back. He'll have an update.